Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, turn the radio on, it's Saturday, and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong, I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
It just seemed like a lot of people wanted to squelch any idea that there was another hypothesis. And I think that's what I find the most disappointing, because I would expect that from politicians. I would expect that from governments. I would never expect that from the scientific community. And yet, what we witnessed was the scientific community went on heavy to try to stop any open debate about the origin of this virus. And I find that just very, very sad, very disconcerting, and very anti-science.
CDC Director Robert Redfield, not Robert Redford, Robert Redfield.
Close.
Talking about how he finds it extremely disturbing, as do I think as do most of you, that the scientific community was actively working very hard to squelch the Wuhan coronavirus lab leak theory. And if you dare breathe a word about the origins of the COVID-19 virus coming from China, much less Wuhan, you were labeled a racist or a xenophobe or whatever. Seems like the only person who was making disparaging comments about Asian Americans last year was Hunter Biden.
Oh, there's some news. There's some news.
Yeah, how about we get to that story later?
Yeah, how about that?
Hunter Biden, the gift that just keeps on giving.
Yikes.
Remember Bill Clinton's ne'er-do-well brother, Roger Clinton?
No.
He was a mess. Roger Clinton was to Bill Clinton what Hunter Biden is to Joe Biden.
Oh, really?
He was an epic disaster.
It is a disaster. And the idea that he was allowed to go on air and talk about his book or whatever that was. And
A
giant press tour.
How did they let that happen?
I am like, we are living in the upside down.
Oh, yeah. And apparently he's an art dealer now or something. Like, people are buying Hunter Biden's art.
Whole thing's a mess.
Okay.
Well, we got another 3 hours of show to get to, so we better get going here. So let's bring in our next guest from the Illinois Policy Institute. One of their fine folks joins us every Wednesday afternoon. Adam Schuster joining us today, Senior Director of Budget and Tax Research at the Illinois Policy Institute, illinoispolicy.org. Adam, good afternoon. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. I'm Tim Jones. I'm in the big chair. Annie is out on maternity leave. She had lovely little Molly last week.
Well, congratulations to Annie and Molly, and nice to be introduced to you, Tim.
Yeah, absolutely. Adam, thanks for joining us here this afternoon. I got Katie and Ryan here as well. So, Adam, I know one of the big topics we're going to talk to you about today is a new piece that you all published over at Illinois Policy Institute, illinoispolicy.org. And the headline of this is just, every time we have a headline about Illinois, it's shocking. But maybe we shouldn't be shocked at this point. Illinoisans pay 10th highest lifetime taxes in the U.S. So, Adam, just give us a 30,000 foot on this. How did you all come up with that staggering headline that Illinois, which we you know, when we think of high tax states that would earn that moniker, you know, we would think of California, New York, some others. You wouldn't think of a Midwestern state like Illinois, but apparently it's true.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. Illinois consistently ranks among the top 10 highest tax states. You know, it depends on the study you look at and what exact actual measurements you're using. Wallet Hub, for example, is a personal finance site. They've ranked us as high as first in total state and local tax burden. The Tax Foundation, which looks at total taxes as a percentage of personal income of the state. So how much does the government take of all the income that the people and businesses earn? That has put us as high as sixth. And then this latest study is looking at lifetime taxes. And so that's measured by, you know, over a 60-year span, including 35 years roughly of working, how much taxes are you going to pay in state and local taxes? And it's almost $700,000, you know, for the average resident in Illinois, which places us 10th on that ranking. But, you know, for me, the really, you know, frustrating thing about being an Illinoisan is not just that our taxes are so high, but also that we get so little in return, so that the money is used so poorly, mostly being thrown into our pension crisis and our massive debt burdens, compared to a state like California, which, you know, has the same reputation as being a very high tax state, but at least the people are seeing a little bit more back in services for those high taxes that they pay. And I think that's why, you know, you see a much bigger out-migration problem in Illinois than you do in other high-tax states, because it's not just, you know, that we're asking people to pay more, but we're asking them to pay more and continually giving them less in return.
Adam Schuster, Illinois Policy. I'm looking at some of the breakdown of how you came to these figures. And I remember, I've been in Illinois my whole life, so I've lived there my whole life. Before I was really involved in politics or knew that there were different states that had different tax rules as far as property taxes go, I was shocked when I was in my mid-20s. I think I was doing a television interview. I went to northern Kentucky, right outside of Cincinnati, was interviewing a guy there at his house, and the house was enormous. And I guess I was young enough that I didn't care about asking questions like, what are your property taxes on this place? And he said, oh, I don't know, about $1,200. I was floored. I was floored. I mean, we're talking about a huge, huge house, and they paid nothing on it. And this is outside of, you know, just like right here where we are in Illinois. We're a suburb of St. Louis, at least I am. They were just outside of Cincinnati, so a very, very similar situation. And I was paying for a lesser house probably three times as much. How much do property taxes factor into this number that you're talking about and to that out-migration?
That's a great question. It's absolutely the most punishing portion of most Illinoisans' tax burden. Our property taxes are the second highest in the nation after only New Jersey. Typically, an Illinoisan is going to be paying more than 2% of the value of their home on average. And in some places it ranges much higher than that. But, you know, whereas states like Florida, Tennessee, Texas, even, you know, states, and many of these states have no income tax, you're paying less than 1% of the value of your home annually in property taxes. So the property tax problem is, you know, out of control in Illinois. And it really compounds the out-migration problem, because it's not just, you know, that you're forcing people to pay a lot of money, which, you know, is reducing their after-tax income, the amount of money they have to spend and invest and, you know, use for their own purposes, but it also, high property taxes depress home price appreciation. So the higher your property taxes are, you know, the harder it is to sell your home for a better price, because people are looking at that property tax burden when they're shopping around. So, you know, we've had a horrible out-migration problem in Illinois for about a decade, lost a congressional seat after the last census, for example. And if you look at home price appreciation since the Great Depression, we're ranked 48th in the nation for average growth in home values. So the property tax burden is a huge problem. The high tax burden overall is a huge problem. And yet what we're seeing is that our lawmakers, rather than you know, get serious about addressing these things and lowering the cost of living to make Illinois a more attractive place, they're actually continuing to use tax increases as part of their annual strategy for balancing the budget. I remember a couple of years ago, I was on the show talking about, you know, how Governor Pritzker's first budget and capital plan included 20 newer higher taxes and fees. And and his most recent one adds an additional four. So that's 24 tax increases just under Governor Pritzker's first term in less than 3 years in office.
Adam, before we move on from property taxes, because there's a lot of different reasons for this tax burden listed in your article, how do you fix that issue in particular? Is it all local? Is it statewide? Is it a combination of both? Like, what would it take to lower property taxes in Illinois?
Well, it does take statewide policy because many of the reasons property taxes are high have nothing to do with policy that local governments are in control of. So property taxes exclusively fund local government in Illinois. There is no state collection of property taxes, but state policy impacts them a lot. There's three kind of core areas. The first is we have too many school districts. I've talked about this problem on the show before, but we spend the most in the nation on the cost of administering our school districts. We have way too many school districts serving way too few students. A state like California, for example, has three times as many students as Illinois, three times the student body population, but they pay 33% less for the cost of administering their school districts because they're just much more efficient. They have more schools per school district and more students per school district. The other one is just general purpose governments. We have way too many local governments in general. We have almost 7,000 local governments in the state of Illinois. By far, it's the largest number of local governments of any state in the country. And that's, again, it's an administrative inefficiency problem. We have a lot of duplication or multiple people doing what could be a job for one person or one government. And so consolidation of school districts as well as consolidation of townships, water reclamation districts, mosquito abatement districts, all these insane number of special districts that we have. Consolidation is a big part of bringing property taxes down. But then the last one, and actually the most important, I saved the best for last year, is pension reform. Because in addition to the huge burden placed on the state government, pension debt is the largest financial burden that most of our cities have to pay for police officers, firefighters, and municipal employees. And so, if you look at where your property taxes are going, in many places, it's close to 100% of annual property tax collections immediately go to the pension payment.
Yeah, and Adam, final kind of a big key takeaway here is everything you've just discussed has real world consequences, doesn't it? And I've seen more studies over the last few months than I have seen in probably the last few years. I think because the pandemic has accelerated some of these differences between horribly big blue mismanaged states like Illinois versus some of the well managed red states like we happen to be lucky to live in. I'm here in Missouri in the St. Louis region. What happens is, Adam, is that the real world consequences are the people that can leave the state do. And I believe for the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, Illinois has led the nation in per capita, maybe even in actual numbers, too, of people leaving the state. And eventually that ends up harming everybody who's left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. And unfortunately, it's also true that the people who are leaving tend to be wealthier than the people that are coming in. So while we have this net out migration problem of people, it's even worse if you look at dollars. So if you look at IRS data and the income people take out of the state, Illinois is losing the most income, and we're losing it to places like Florida, like Tennessee, where they manage their finances appropriately. And as a result, they're able to have significantly lower tax burdens without reducing the amount of services that they provide. And in many cases, you could even say that their local government services are better. So, yeah, the real world consequences are, ultimately what we should care about here. And the real world consequence that's resulting from this, high tax burden combined with our financial mismanagement is that it's increasingly difficult for people to be able to grow a life in Illinois, to establish a family here, to establish a business here. And that's a major problem that our politicians should be focused on. And it was, unfortunately, largely ignored in this most recent General Assembly session.
Mm-hmm. Well, hope springs eternal in my mind. And hopefully, thanks to the giant spotlight of truth the Illinois Policy Institute shines, sanity will perhaps reign once again someday in the once great land of Lincoln. Adam Schuster, Senior Director of Budget and Tax Research at Illinois Policy Institute, our guest today. Thanks so much for joining us, Adam. It's great having a conversation with you.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, let's get to a break here, and then we'll be back with, Nick Schroer. That's right. The wild man Nick Schroer joins us next. He is with the Missouri Legislature. He's in the House of Representatives. I heard today in the gossip rags and the whispers column that there may be a special session next week in Jefferson City, becoming more like Illinois. Not good to have all these special sessions. But there was something that did not get done that may need to get done. It's a little complicated, but Nick Schroer will walk us through it when we return here at 97.1 FM Talk. It's the Annie Fry Show.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I am proud that we are announcing the Rapid Recovery Program, which that bill set up and is now operational. $1.25 billion will be distributed to community lenders through this program. Lenders can use these funds for critical needs, such as to recover from the pandemic themselves. You know, many of these community lenders, you can think of them as small businesses of their own. They're based in the community. They need the support. They need resources. They need technical assistance. So that's part of where this will go.
Wholly owned subsidiaries of the U.S. government. Great. Yeah, funneling taxpayer cash and or borrowed from China is what Kamala Harris considers business development. You got to be kidding me. And by the way, Southern Border, anyone? Anyone? Bueller?
Southern Border? Has she been there? I haven't seen the news lately.
Well,
has
she told Lester Holt there? She had. Huh.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've been there is what she said.
That's my impression of the Kamala Harris laugh.
No, but I haven't been to Europe either.
You can tell it's late in the show.
Oh, my gosh.
A little slap happy in the afternoon. So, no, she can't go to the southern border. She's too busy handing out Biden bucks.
Ah.
You know? More Biden bucks for everybody. Yeah, let's see if Nick Schroer's got any of those Biden bucks. Here he is now. Wild man Nick Schroer, Missouri State Representative from the great county of St. Charles. You got any Biden bucks you can give me, Nick Schroer? You get any? I didn't get any yet.
I have no Biden bucks, and I sure as heck don't have an Obama phone either.
You know, Obama phone. Yeah, Nick, so there's Kamala Harris. She's so proud of the fact, Nick, that... She's so proud of the fact that she gets to hand out more cash printed based on nothing or borrowed from communist China. I mean, that's what makes the leftists just love life these days. They're not doing anything to get the economy restarted. They've had two horrible jobs reports in a row. We've got inflation at 12-year highs. The price at the pump is excruciating. It's like jumped 30% since Biden took office. Energy independence. Yeah, for Russia, but not for the U.S. Pipelines for them, but not for us. And Joe Biden goes on the world stage this week and just looks like one of the most irrelevant people to ever, you know,
looks
take
like
on the world leadership. Yeah, he really does. No America first. A lot of America last.
Well, literally, when you look at the G7, who was leading the pack previously? Trump. And, you know, in a way that some people disagreed with, you know, elbowing his way to the front of the pack, America is leading the way. I mean, when you look at what we're contributing to the world stage, we are paying our fair share and everybody else's. And, you know, I think that is the leadership that we need in this country to say, well, wait a second. Why are we leading the pack and everybody else is kind of lagging behind and pointing the finger at us that we're the big bad bully? You saw Joe Biden, conversely, at the end of the pack, and basically you had other world leaders holding on to him so he didn't fall over and collapse in the summer sun. But going back to no-show Harris, and I'm going to use that name. I stole it from George Jones, who failed to show up to so many shows. Now you've got no-show Harris, who just fails to go to the border when she admits that there's a crisis at the border, and now it's not a crisis. She's just going to hand out cookies to everybody with her face on it. This is something. These are things that you've just mentioned, pages out of the Communist Manifesto to usher in the socialist utopia that they've promised that they were going to bring, and that's vitally important. that our states, the last line of defense, our states strengthen back up, take the power back for the 9th and 10th Amendments that we were given by our founding fathers, so this kind of chaos does not continue to happen in our nation.
Hey, and Nick, have you noticed that how the real dyed-in-the-wool, Kool-Aid-drinking leftist lunatics, not the old-fashioned Truman, Kennedy, even Bill Clinton Democrats, but I'm talking the hardcore leftists, you know, the unfortunately, it's way too high of a number in the U.S. now. It's like 20-25% now, the hardcore leftists. All they can talk about, Nick, is Donald Trump because he lives rent-free in their noggins, in their craniums. And all they can talk about is January 6th. Because you know what, Nick? They can't talk about anything that's happened since January 20th because everything that's happened since January 20th that Joe Biden has talked about, touched, or referred to has become an epic disaster. And we got one of these epic left-wing lunatics on our YouTube chat right now, Kevin. Kevin's a typical deranged leftist liberal who only wants to talk about how horrible Orange Man Bad is and mean tweets and January 6th. Nick, I would take a few mean tweets right now for our gas prices to go back down 30 or 40 cents.
Oh, I mean, you're spot on. Everything that Donald Trump indicated, especially towards the back end of his time in office, is now coming to fruition. It's all true. When you had the leftist media and these radical leftists pointing the finger at him, saying Orange Man bad, he's lying to the American people again. Well, guess what? The media is now slowly leaking out the fact that he was right.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just name off a few
He
mentioned in a statement, the virus originating in a Wuhan lab. We even had Jon Stewart talking about that here recently, the effectiveness of hydroxychloroquine. Operation Warp Speed, how it would produce all of these vaccines before the end of 2020, something that even Fauci flip-flopped on, like many politicians did. He indicated that masks were wholly ineffective in warding off the virus. The Lafayette Square had not been cleared of the protesters just for a photo op. The lockdowns in the Democrat cities, controlled cities and states did not work, that the Russian dossier was fake, the Russian bounties were fake. The list goes on. And the fact that the media is finally, some of the media, not all, some of the media is finally wising up to say, well, yeah, that orange guy that we kind of helped kick out of office, those weren't lies. It is actually true. So I think that's why the leftists don't want to talk about any date post January 6th. They want to keep concentrating on the time that Trump was in office, sharing pictures and memes of what he could be doing since in backwards pants. That was a big deal a couple of weeks ago. Rather than talking about the policy and positions in his statement, they were talking about wrinkled pants, for crying out loud. Let's get this nation back under the control of people with common sense, and it sure as heck isn't the people that are in the White House right now. And hey, if they're still out of the White House, if they're still out of the country, Biden and Harris, let's get serious about closing down our border again, folks.
Nick Schroer, Missouri State Representative. Something you said I want to touch down on a little bit about the states being the last line of defense. What in your mind or even in action right now is the front line against pushing back on globalism, on socialism? What is Missouri doing? What can you be doing?
Well, I know one of the things that Missouri is doing right now, we discussed a little bit a week or so ago with House Bill 126. You know, when Roe v. Wade came to the Supreme Court, it was a decision that the old white men leftists that were on that bench that day, they created out of thin air this new right to privacy. It's nowhere in the Constitution, but they found somewhere where they think it could fit. That is one thing that right now, I've just joined an amicus brief today with Senator Mike Moon, a good friend of mine. He sat behind me in the House for 4 years, but I joined an amicus brief with him filed by David Barton on a Mississippi case, one that I mentioned a week or so ago, the Dobbs versus Jackson. It's a 15-week abortion ban, and what this amicus brief indicates is that abortion is an issue for the states per the 9th and 10th Amendments. This is an issue that we should have the ability to dictate how we are going to legislate those arenas and those areas of law rather than the federal government. So that's just one option. But, you know, when it comes to other issues such as critical race theory, something that I am on the front lines fighting against day in, day out, filed an amendment this year to strip that out of the curriculum that we have seen is entrenched all over in public and even private schools in our state. That is one thing that the Biden administration is dangling the power of the dollar over the different states and saying, if you implement critical race theory and Project 1619 in your curriculum, guess what you're going to get? More of these taxpayer dollars. So standing up against constitutional overreaches such as those two. Those are just two examples of many. I could spend the rest of the hour talking about other examples.
Well, let me ask you really quick, just since you hit on it. When you're talking about banning critical race theory, I think that's something that most of us are very much in favor of. Are you talking about doing that to just public schools in Missouri or to private schools? Because the libertarian in me says, well, we should let private schools kind of teach whatever they want.
Well, as of right now, yeah, it would just be focused. The language that I had on the amendment that I'm going to file again, I'm hoping that the governor answers the calls for special session to bring us back in to deal with this before the next school year. We see it's already in our schools today. But the language would just be these publicly funded institutions, these public schools, rather, and not focus on the private schools. Because, yes, the free market guy in me says, look, if you're a private entity, you should be able to dictate what you're going to do. And you're not receiving taxpayer dollars. This isn't a publicly funded institution, whereas taxpayers should absolutely have say in what is being taught to our kids and what is being forced down our kids' heads, indoctrinating them, so to speak. But when it comes to a private school, I believe that they should be able to dictate certain things, such as whether it's a Catholic school, they're going to teach Catholicism, if it's a Lutheran school, and so on and so forth.
Nick, we're hearing rumors that you all may be going back into a special session next week. What have you heard about that, Nick? Is that true? Can you tell us anything about it at this point in time?
Well, I saw the article you're probably alluding to in the Missouri Scout, and I can tell you right now, in that article, it says that a deal has been reached. Well, me being the person at the tip of the spear in the trenches in the Missouri
House. The deal maker.
Yeah. Well, there's no deal. I can tell you that right now. Yeah. And I got that from my friend Bob Onder. I reached out to him, and he's on the other side. He and I have language to defund Planned Parenthood. And this is something we've done year after year. In 2015 and 16, it was done in a certain uninsured woman's portion of the Medicaid program. Since then, it's been done in our budget. But the Supreme Court said, no, that is not the legal route. So we're trying to follow this this precedent from the Supreme Court. But yeah, this new deal is not including the language to defund Planned Parenthood. So I can Missourians can rest assured they expected us to go back in and defund Planned Parenthood as we have, protecting your taxpayer dollars from going to these institutions that are partaking in abortions or at least affiliating with these facilities. No deal has been struck. If this starts in the Senate, I can guarantee you my good friend Senator Bob Onder, a constitutional champion over there, will make sure that this language is put in there. If it starts in the House, it's not coming out unless my language is on there.
Fantastic. Nick, as we wrap you up here, I know you've got a big event, basically a big free event for all those who love freedom and liberty coming up this Friday. Tell us a little bit about that before we let you go.
Yeah, so we've got Freedom Fest. It's something we were going to do last year. It was kind of shut down, and we're going to be at the Arrowhead facility here in St. Peter's. It's going to be outside, and I'm hearing that the heat is an issue. All the hot air that we've been hearing from the Joe Biden administration, Kamala Harris, and even Cori Bush trying to legalize every drug under the sun, all that hot air is coming to our state and our city, in the city of St. Peter's, on Friday. But rest assured, we're going to have good guest speakers. Ann Dorn will be there. Mark McCloskey will be there. Many others, Senator Bill Eigel, another conservative champion, going to have a big announcement from myself. And I've got three new shirts that are debuting that you can pick which one you would like to start wearing here in the summer sun. Oh, but that's 6 to 9 on Friday, outdoors in the evening.
6 to 9 this Friday. Arrowhead Building Supply, is that what you said?
Absolutely. Arrowhead, it's in the parking lot. We're going to have live music from 6 to 7. A good friend of ours is going to be the MC, and it's going to be a fun time. It's a maskless event, but socialist distancing will be implemented.
Oh, fantastic. Very good. Socialist distancing. Oh, Nick, you're so funny.
Which means you can stand right next to each other, right?
That's right.
Right.
Exactly.
As long as you're not a socialist.
Exactly. At Nick B. Schroer on Twitter. Nick, I bet you'll post those details up in your Twitter feed, right?
Yeah, they're already up there, but I'll go ahead and share them again. So those tuning off of the show at the end of the hour, getting ready to listen to Mark Reardon, they can look on the Nick B. Schroer or on my Facebook page or nick4rep.com for all the details.
Fantastic. State Representative Nick Schroer at Nick B. Schroer on Twitter. Nick, thanks for all the time this afternoon. Great to have you on.
Yeah, God bless you all.
Yeah,
talk
you
to you
too. Talk to you again soon. There we go. We'll go to one more break here. Come back with anything maybe we missed.
Did we miss the Hunter Biden story, or are we just avoiding that?
You can maybe reference it. There's certain, as with Hunter Biden.
I will edit heavily as I go along.
Just be ready to dump.
As always with Hunter Biden, We do have to edit heavily.
Yes, very much so.
I mean, if this guy's last name was Trump, I mean, forget about it.
Can you even imagine?
You know?
They'd have impeached the president based on the son's actions.
Such a double standard. It's ridiculous. But he's fun. Hunter Biden is the gift that keeps on giving. All that and more when we come back on the Annie Fry Show at 97.1 FM Talk.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
So I'm looking at I haven't been to a Cardinals baseball game, and I used to go. I mean, maybe I was more of a sports nut when I was younger, and I'm such a political nut, nerd. But my big sports have always been baseball and golf, and probably golf. I know much more about professional golf right now.
Playing or viewing?
Both.
Okay.
I'm not a professional golfer. Although I identify as one.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm waiting for my endorsements.
Yeah.
Now that I identify as Tiger Woods, I'm waiting for my multimillionaire mansion in wherever, Palm Springs, Palm Beach, Palm whatever. Anything with Palm connected to it is usually pretty nice.
Yeah.
I think that you should talk to Window World and see if they would endorse your professional golf career.
Yes. So like for instance, today's what, Wednesday? Do you know what starts tomorrow?
No.
The beginning of two of the best months in golf, the U.S. Open, followed by the Open Championship.
Okay,
July. Hmm. Tomorrow starts the U.S. Open, PGA. It's the U.S. Open starts and it's on a course that I've played several times, Torrey Pines in beautiful San Diego. It's actually in La Jolla, in beautiful La Jolla, California.
Can I ask?
And it's a municipal course. That is you can play there. Anybody can play there.
Nice.
If you want to pay the coin, and depending on the time of year, it is the Forest Park of La Jolla, California. It just happens to be on the Pacific Ocean. So,
is it really expensive? Is it like $400?
No, nowhere near that. You're going to spend $100 to $200.
Oh, that's not bad.
But the views, the entire time you're playing Torrey Pines, you're on a cliff, staring at the Pacific Ocean. I mean, it's the best, I think, it's the best municipal course I've played in the country. And that's why the U.S. Open, the whole thing about the U.S. Open is it's supposed to be on a public course that anybody can play.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Is it always? Or do they break that rule?
No, it's always on a public
course. I didn't know that.
I believe that's correct. I believe that's correct. Somebody can call me and tell me if I'm wrong. But
Pebble Beach a public course?
Technically, yes.
Okay.
Just, that's the one that costs $500 a round.
That's why I asked, because I golf.
You can play Pebble Beach.
I thought that
for $1,000 a night,
but it's really expensive.
You have to stay at the villas there, and you have to play Pebble Beach. you have to stay at Pebble Beach. I mean, that's a horrific thing, right? To have to stay at Pebble Beach. But
well,
you're
just racking up the money, though.
But
right?
You're going to shell out the coin. I think it's like around $1,000 now a night, and you get the golf with it.
But you end up playing. So
it's a bucket list item.
It's crazy. Like I've been out there. The only time I've ever been to California, went out to Monterey to visit some friends who lived on a military base out there. And we stayed with them before we had kids. And we showed up and they said, well, we're right by Pebble Beach. You want to go see it? Said, absolutely. Let's go see it. The U.S. Open had just gotten done the day before. So we got to walk around Pebble Beach and kind of experience the U.S. Open without tickets. It was awesome.
Okay, so here you go. Torrey Pines has two courses, the North Course and the South Course. Okay. The South Course is the one they play the championships on, and they have played tons of different championships. There's a big tournament there every year that Farmers sponsors in January. And then there is every once in a while, they have U.S. Opens and PGA champion, whatever. So right now, Monday through Thursday, you can non-resident walk on $200 to play Torrey Pines. It is a gorgeous course. It's well worth $200. You could play the Twilight there, like from whatever,
after four or whatever.
3 o'clock onwards or whatever, for $122.
That's amazing.
On a PGA caliber course that has hosted a ton, and not just one, but like a ton of PGA events.
Crazy.
And the views, like there's hang gliders that will be hang gliding by below you. That's how high up you are.
Wow.
You're way up. It is a gorgeous course. You can play the North Course for $128.
Pretty much the same. Yeah, wow, that's
incredible. $128 normal.
Oh, that's not the Twilight rate. No. What's the Twilight rate?
And the North Course is just as challenging. It's just
Pines
the South.
Over the Twilight rate.
Yeah. And how much is a flight?
So that's Torrey Pines, torreypines.com. So anyway, so that's this month. So the U.S. Open starts tomorrow. Round number one is tomorrow. I'll go all through the weekend. And then next month is, as I call it by its proper name, I'm a golf purist, I try to be, is the Open Championship. It's not called the British Open. Okay, it's the Open Championship because it was the first.
Okay,
it's over in
so
the
it's
old.
Like,
so don't make that mistake.
If we were talking about history, and I said World War I, and you said no, Ryan, it's called the Great War.
Correct.
Okay, thanks.
That's right.
Okay,
so
and you've played all of these?
Where?
Torrey Pines.
I played Torrey Pines. Yeah.
Pebble Beach.
I haven't played Pebble Beach. I need to go on that. That's a bucket list trip. I got a buddy, my buddy Matt Odell, who's general manager out at the Legends where I play. He puts together golf trips, and he's an Englishman. He's from the UK. He's been here forever. He's a really good golfer, too. On his golf balls, he puts, you know, you can mm-hmm. you know, logo your own golf balls. Mm-hmm. You always know you found one of his on the course because it says the Great American on it.
Love it.
Like, you're a great American.
Yeah, I got those as a gift a couple times. Yeah. It's one of the greatest gifts
so funny.
That you ever get because it's such a talking point for the whole round.
Right. So his say the Great American. So Matt puts together these trips from time to time, and he does them both here in the States, and he does UK trips. He hasn't done a UK trip in over 2 years, right, because of the pandemic. So the next time he puts together a Pebble Beach trip, I'm going to have to, because we'll play more than Pebble Beach. There's a ton of famous courses out there that many people say are even better than Pebble Beach. Pebble Beach has the name and the moniker and all that. But you've got Cypress, you've got Monterey, you've got Spyglass,
mm-hmm.
Spanish
Those are all,
Bay.
Yeah, those are all real close together, aren't
they? They're all right there
they're
in the
right
peninsula.
Clustered, yeah.
And then he'll put together a European trip from time to time, either in Scotland or Ireland. Cool. Which is worth its weight just to go for the scenery.
Sure.
That sounds amazing.
Absolutely.
And the golf, too. But so, I've played in Scotland once. I've never been to Ireland. I really want to go.
Me, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are all Scottish courses link style?
Ish. I mean, yes and no. I mean, they're all generally located near the sea on that track. So you know where the word links course came from?
No.
So it's the land between the ocean and the beach, you couldn't put a golf course on the beach, right? So it's the land between the beach and the land that's usable. It's the link. The links courses, the golf courses were built on links land because they weren't good for anything else.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. You can't build things on the beach itself. And the land between the beach and the agrarian land that you can actually do things on, like have cattle or some crops that they have in Scotland, is rough. Scotland's rough to begin with. There's not a whole lot of cropland in Scotland, but there is some, and there's some grazing land. And so the lynx land was really honestly usable for nothing, so they used to go around and beat little feather balls around on and stuff. And then we invented golf. And my
Thank
wife,
God for golf.
And my wife thinks it's as stupid as I just described it, you know?
I was going to ask you, what makes golf so appealing to you? Like, what is your favorite? Is it just relaxing? Is it a nice pet?
It's not relaxing at all. No, okay. It's stressful.
It's stressful.
It's one of the best walks you can ever have in life, because generally golf courses are picturesque and pretty and it's nature, but you get to do something while you're in. It's not just like, okay, I'm in nature.
What do we do?
Nature looks good. I love nature. Now what do we do? Mm-hmm. You know, so golf, you spend 4 hours running around in nature, you know?
It's like
so
taking a hike with a purpose.
Another thing my wife thinks is stupid, that I spend 4 or 5 hours running around in nature.
Okay.
I'm giving you the positives and the negatives about golf all at the same time, because I hear it at home. So Susanna would be so proud of me. I'm talking about this right now. It's man versus nature. It's man versus himself, woman versus herself, because golf is the only sport I can think of where you self-police yourself throughout the entire round.
Like,
if you have a penalty, you're supposed to call it on yourself. If you play the ball as it lies, you're not supposed to move it around and get it in a better spot, right? And with golf, you never win at golf. You just try to get better.
Better, yeah.
You never win, you know. You never go out and shoot an 18, right? You never go out and get a hole in one on every hole. That's, you know, that's impossible. Unless it's a fun little par three course, but nobody's ever done that. So,
have you ever had one?
Never. Oh my God, I've been so close. I've seen four.
I've seen four also.
Have you really?
One of them was mine.
Oh, you got one?
I did get one in high school, in a tournament.
Congratulations. You get a certificate?
I think they kind of went, well, hey, that was neat. Good job. And I'm like, all right.
It seems like it's a really good thing.
I know.
It's
a big deal.
I've witnessed four hole-in-ones with my friends. And it's like, darn it, where's mine? You know?
I have two in mini golf, and let me tell you.
Oh.
Earth-shattering.
Yeah.
Earth-shattering.
Especially
stuff.
If it's on the 18th hole.
There
it goes.
You go.
It goes all the way to the back of the clubhouse on its own.
Right.
That's right.
You might get a free round.
One of my buddies, Paul, that I play with out in Eureka, he got two hole-in-ones this year, 30 days apart.
Oh, my
gosh. Wow, that's impressive.
Son of a, you know what?
Gun.
Yeah, the four I've seen, two of them were by the same guy.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's like, how does that happen? And I don't even play with that guy very often.
Well, big shout out to my golf crew for putting up with me. Gary, Paul, Woody.
Thanks for your patience.
My buddy Matt Ivaldi, who is a majority shareholder at the Legends, does a great job out there. We got a big renovation coming. It's going to be great. So anyway, very family-friendly course. Come on out to the Legends. I'll give you an autograph. Or if you don't want that.
You're a professional golfer, it means something.
If you don't want that, I'll buy you a beer. I do. I identify as a professional golfer.
That's
so
right.
It should be worth something.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey. More of this fun talk tomorrow. I'll keep it right here. Mark Woo-hoo! Reardon is up next. Katie, Ryan, thanks so much for everything. Great
Thank
show
you.
Today. You keep it right here. Mark Reardon's up next on 97.1 FM Talk. Have a great Wednesday, y'all.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.